College's Racine campus, visiting the eSports Lab for their summer camp for kids. So John, Steve, let's talk some video gaming.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Fab Lab 10 a.m. program. This is Steve Whitmore.
And John Zern.
And we're here today with a very special guest, my cohort when it comes to eSports at Gateway Technical College, Aquinas Price.
Hello, how are you?
And today we're very fortunate to be live at the Racine campus, where officially a year ago, we got the integration of eSports and how it relates to the Fab Lab, et cetera. So in terms of the eSports, what was the history of us developing this?
Well, before we go to history, can we actually just go through what eSports is? I know from a Fab Lab perspective, we see increased aptitude in kids who game. And I personally, I don't know anything about eSports. I'd like to start at the very beginning and say, what is eSports?
eSports is electronic gaming competitions. So it allows gamers or players to compete against other gamers or players who don't traditionally fall in the group of normal sports, or what you would call or considered normal sports. So for students who aren't able to make the basketball team or choose not to go out to the basketball team, they can feel safe coming here. If they're a gamer, we have an NBA 2K23 club that they can join, and we will have a varsity sport.
So there's teams that game over vast distances, and there's worldwide competitions. Steve, maybe you can talk some to that.
Sure. In terms of eSports, over the last 5 years, almost every college now has an eSports club or eSports team that competes back and forth with other colleges on a statewide and national level. So there's organizations that allow you to compete nationally for different genres, different sports. So in terms of Gateway, we have a variety of different sports that we participate in. Can you name some of them?
Sure. One of the other sports that we participate in is FIFA 23. We do have an Overwatch sports team, which allows players to game 5v5. And we are looking at some other games coming up this fall for sports leagues.
Right, and we also have Rocket League, we have Valorant, we have a host of other sports that we actually participate in, both at the club and sometimes, if we're good enough, at a varsity level.
Correct. So we've got Overwatch for something like that. We've got Conflict of Nations, Multiverses, which that's going away temporarily, but it'll be back next year, 2024. We have League of Legends, Hearthstone, and a variety of retro games, such as Ms. Pac-Man, Joust, Punch-Out, things like that, that people can come in and enjoy.
Yeah, stuff that I'm not exactly a gamer. So for me, I literally as a kid started with Pong, you know, and then we went to Atari Systems and we used to sneak into the Sears store at Christmas time and play the consoles, right? And Breakout and Super Breakout, you know. And then there was the tank battle, which is just completely lame by today's standards. You know, and then we moved into new gaming systems, and there was Nintendo that came out after that. So when you mention all these games, to me, I'm clueless as to what you're talking about. And from what I understand, the whole structure of how these teams are layered, and if I understand correctly, there's scholarships available in it, there's careers available in it. So let's talk a little bit about the actual teams themselves and how you build it, how you train them, how they're coached.
In terms of the way we approach it here at Gateway Tech, we do not have scholarships yet. There are other schools in the state that offer scholarships, different levels of scholarships to different players. But here at Gateway, we don't have that yet. We're in our infancy in terms of developing our esports program. The huge advantage, though, that we see with any of our players that come in is that typically, with terms of developing gaming, you have improved eye-hand coordination. obviously, that's a huge one. And attention, visual acuity, that's big applications. But it's not just in terms of the STEM-based. We also see a lot of our athletes going into areas like business, graphic designs, and there's a whole host of other ways to apply those skills, those soft skills that all of employers nowadays, better communication between people, better collaboration between our athletes. We have a much higher critical thinking and creativity associated with this application of esports to the populace.
That's right. And I think that in order for us to reach those that are interested, we need to expand our area. So we're looking to possibly get something out in Elkhorn area, something down in Kenosha area. But in the meantime, we want the students to feel comfortable coming here to the...
Almost every one of our athletes, when we talk to them, it helps. Esports is that mechanism for them that helps build their self-confidence. It helps them develop their self-worth and allows them to have better player socialization. And actually, some of the reports I see out that almost 50% of the gamers, anyone of any background, of any aspect, can come in and be part of something. And that's what's huge.
So good socializing connotations, good technology connotations, good educational. I mean, most people, if they see their kid gaming 24/7, they're going to freak out. I know my daughter, she sits on Minecraft all day. And in my brain, I'm like, how is this possibly a good thing for her? And of course, now in the lab, I can actually see these kids coming in and picking up the software to do 3D modeling, picking up the software to do 2D vector graphics software quicker so that they can move from their design phase right into their actual manufacturing phase if they want to, or actually building something. And one of the examples I like to use is if I have a technician that comes in to work on a machine, they're going to open up that cabinet and they're going to look at that machine. They're going to whip out their phone and they're going to turn on FaceTime and do an actual photographic overlay of the cabinet. And it gives them all the information they need about all the different components. Now, the kids who are in esports are going to understand these virtual and augmented reality systems much better than kids who are not gaming, who are not understanding of these environments and interface. But my understanding of esports, and one of the things I think it's great that this is something that can happen over the internet. On a previous program, we had our Glasgow exchange students, and when they came into the Fab Lab, the first thing they wanted to know was how they could connect their esports team with Gateway's esports team. So it's something that's just really catching on fire. And as little as 2 or 3 years ago, most people didn't know it existed and had no clout how this is growing and what it is.
Well, first, let me tell you a quick story. So I have a 12-year-old son who is a YouTuber. He started out uploading videos of him playing Fortnite, getting a check every 3 months for roughly $200. But it's teaching him the social skills. It's teaching him the business end. It's teaching him how to network with other people. And that is what we're trying to breed here. And John, I'm sorry, your question one more time?
I'm curious about the growth of it and how...
Let me speak to the growth of it. Esports is growing. It is outpacing the NFL. It is outpacing the Super Bowl. It is outpacing the NBA playoffs as far as viewership. So this, which some parents include, they are building arenas the size of the Bucks stadium just to house esports gamers. So this is not track.
In terms of the NBA playoffs versus last year, there was a League of Legends tournament, just one tournament, and that League of Legends tournament had 142 million hours of watch time that people were watching that system. And it's amazing. And just like regular athletes, you have a ton of students involved in athletes that are in eighth grade with basketball, softball, volleyball, etc. Not all of them going to make varsity. And even those that make varsity, we have are infinitesimally small that actually make it clear across. Where in this genre, we have a lot more individuals that are going through the process of developing skills and still able to compete at a higher and higher level, depending on how much time they want to put into it, and have that opportunity to compete and to showcase their skills. Recently, we had one individual with here at Gateway that was in iRacing. So iRacing is this where you do virtual driving simulation. And we have three systems here that are very similar to the systems that they have for pro race car drivers. In any pro racing league now, when people come to town to race, they'll be bringing these big 18-wheel trailers behind them that have eSports or iRacing systems set up in the back of these trailers so that the drivers can practice on the machines before they actually get out to the track. We had students that were very into actually participating in iRacing. And we had one student actually got signed on to a national team to race, which is very awesome. In our first year, we've actually had one student progress up to the level where they actually got hired to be part of. We had another student that was actually a member of the practice team that would play against the Bucks esports team. So if you look at the NBA, almost every NBA team now has an esports team. And what was funny about the esports G League, the minor league of the NBA, the esports players were actually being paid a higher level than the G League players, which was awesome. And there's major drafts from across the nation. And
I know the whole concept of getting paid for views and advertising. Do you have any idea about that?
The whole money aspect is that whole Google thing and the YouTube thing in terms of views and clicks and stuff like that. There's a huge component of that in terms of how people view, because the more people see something, the more likely there's advertising off of this.
And for example, Sniper Wolf, she's a gamer, 13 million views in under an hour. So you can imagine what kind of funding
tier. How do they get involved in the esports program?
So anyone can go to the Gateway website and there's type in the search bar esports. When you pop up, the esports page will pop up on the Gateway website. And there's a form there that you just fill out. You put in your name, your email address, the whole nine yards, that allows us to get in contact with you once you express interest in esports. And like I said, you don't have to be an uber competitive person. We have a lot of people in our club that's just in it for fun and socializing, where we run little tournaments here for Gateway students. But if you want that next challenge, we also provide that with coaches and with training videos and a whole, we went through with our, right now we're doing the esports camp for eighth graders and ninth graders. We're showing them how to do exercises to keep their body functional so it doesn't get wear and tear excessive from training, just like normal athletes. We have different finger mechanisms and stuff that we have to practice on.
Okay, so I'm an adult and I'm over the age of 50, but I'm a gamer. So can I take part in this program?
As long as you are a Gateway Technical College student and enrolled in a class, you are eligible.
That's great.
And actually, we've had a number of, let's say, seasoned students, we'll call them, that have been part of not only our NBA 2K team, but our Rocket team, Rocket League team, and we've even seen a couple in here playing Valorant. So, like I said, it doesn't matter what your background is, what your social status is, any of that. It doesn't matter because we accept everybody inside this program because of what we care about. Can you play? And if you can't, we help you learn how to play better.
I think the reality of esports from a Fab Lab perspective is the whole idea of the paradigm shift we've experienced as a culture. Kids are absorbing technology quicker and earlier, and they live on their phones and they understand the internet, and they're ready for challenges at younger ages. So it makes perfect sense that in the Fab Lab we refer to it as digital literacy, which needs to be developed at the middle school level along parallel with their conventional core competencies. There is reading, writing, arithmetic, right? But you also need digital literacy. Digital literacy comes as early as doing your reading, writing, arithmetic on a tablet. So this is a perfect evolution for how we educate and how we prepare the next generation for moving into the workforce, which I hate to have that sort of subtle evil innuendo there, because most kids, if you tell them, yeah, your gaming is going to get you a great career, they're going to laugh at you. It was horrifying. So it's from our perspective in terms of just how we're evolving as a culture, I think this is a very important and great distinction.
But not only that, there's actually, from the gaming standpoint, sometimes direct correlations. For instance, one of the things that we have here at Gateway is a drone racing team. So in this whole racing that was created by Georgia Tech for the drone racing league, and we have the exact same sims here. Learn how to fly a drone. And there's a lot of different applications for drone flights in terms of commercial viability, from land survey to police science, from the agricultural clear through arborists and trees.
Yeah, another application that we see is virtual welding. And while it's not an e-sport yet, we have competitions in welding every year, and now welding is evolving to a point where you can pick up a process in welding almost 50% faster if you've been through that exercise virtual or in augmented reality.
I just wanted to add, we are raising our children for a world that no longer exists. The world that we grew up in is no longer there. This is a digital world, and virtual reality gaming is becoming incorporated into our society at such a fast pace, along with automation and AI, that if we don't push our students to get behind this now, our students will fail in the future. Not saying that video games, like you said, John, will get you a career paying $2 million, but having these skills at an early onset will give our students the best advantage going forward.
And one of the things I'm really proud of at Gateway is that Gateway as a college had the forethought to jump into this and support this. But we're not the only ones. Almost every college now has developed some semblance of esports. You got places like Lakeland College that hired Amon Green, the former running back for Green Bay Packers. He's the head coach of their esports now. And so you have a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life seeing the value in this and coming out to support it.
Yeah, and I don't know if we mentioned, we are literally coming from with the kids here. And I have been out in doing outreach in the schools, and the excitation around esports is amazing. I normally will go out with 3D printers or a laser engraver, and the kids go crazy for a 3D printer. But if I've got Q next to me here with the esports, forget it. They're not coming over to do 3D printing. They're interested in gaming there, and they want to know more about it. So the camp that's happening this week at Gateway, and I assume there will be more workshops and camps for your kids in the future, is the kids signed up. It filled up immediately. And we struggle sometimes to get our maker camp full. So we want people to know that there are opportunities to experience it yourself or with your kids. And it's something that's definitely having a huge positive impact on education in general.
All right. My name is Equinus. I'm here with our winner of our summer camp tournament. The game that we played today was Multiversus. And our winner, Arturo, is here with me today. Arturo, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name's Arturo. I'm in 7th grade going into 8th.
What are some things you like to do?
I like to act, sing, play video games.
Arturo, I got a couple questions for you. So how do you like esports?
It's pretty fun.
And I see you won. You're holding your trophy right there, right? Another thing that we make in the Fab Lab. So out of all the games that you do, all right, what was your winning strategy to win this tournament?
So the guy in the last round that I was going against, I versed him 2 other times before, so I saw what he was doing, and I tried to avoid doing what I did last time.
Now, if you take your eyes off the screen, do your hands still know what to do, or do you have trouble with that? So in other words, if you're not focused and paying really good attention, what happens?
Nothing really. I just have to have my eyes on the character, but if I look away a couple seconds, I think I'll be fine.
Now, for me, when I game, I need to watch my hands on the console. Does this into how your hands are working with the console?
No.
That's great. Nice short answer.
Now, what's really cool about that, we do similar stuff when it comes to, I coached basketball for years, and dribbling with 2 basketballs, not looking while you're dribbling, stuff like that, those are similar skill sets that you naturally developed off of esports. The other really huge benefit is what you were talking about earlier, your ability to problem solve, to figure out strategic solutions to a problem set. And that's what the gaming, you were very successful in your approach, analyzing, deducing, and developing a solution to a problem in terms of defeating somebody that was actually a really good opponent to you.
Yeah.
All right, so tell me a little bit about how you started gaming. What was your first gaming experiences?
Probably when I was like, I can't remember, but I was little. And I used to go over to my cousin's house, and he used to have an Xbox 360, and we always used to play a bunch of games on there.
What about phone? Did you do a lot of gaming on phones?
I would say I probably started in 2nd grade with that, but yeah.
Okay, so basic apps. Now, I come from old school games. Did you retro in and do some like Nintendo or Atari games?
Oh, yeah.
Now, the gaming systems are different when they're earlier, but are you using the older games on the new PlayStation systems or Xbox?
No. If I play the older games, I usually go on either my Nintendo Switch or my N64.
Did it ever, in your wildest dreams, come into your imagination that you would be competing playing video games as a sport?
No.
Okay. We've really enjoyed having everyone today. I'm going to hand it over to Steve right now to wrap the session. Steve?
So I wanted to thank everyone for joining us today at Fab Lab 10 a.m. This time not from the IMET, SC Johnson IMET Center, but actually from the Racine campus, where we were talking esports today, which is a really exponentially growing job. Even if you're not involved with esports, to come out and help support esports.
We do accept donations and sponsorships for the esports students. This helps us buy the equipment that we need.
Nelson, you're welcome to drop us a line, fablab@gtc.edu. We'll look forward to hearing from you.
With war correspondent Jane Ferguson talking about her amazing memoir, No Ordinary Assignment. Also, one of my most thrilling morning show moments in 2023, when I got to speak with William Shatner. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
Well, this weekend, WGTD's Noon Tunes, we're featuring the 6-piece jazz funk band from Kenosha, the Cal Bergendahl Project. At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So please join us for Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD.
Member, friend, or neighbor? Call 262-605-6646. The service is free